Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Welcome, welcome. Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits, where God takes your passion and uses it to further his kingdom. And no, this isn't Robbie Dillmore, in case you couldn't tell. And I'm just going to ask Keith. I can't hear myself, Keith. Am I on the air? Keith, are you there, Keith? Anyway, am I on, Keith? Just checking. Okay. Welcome. And Robbie is out this weekend. I'm Ann Ault, and guest hosting for Robbie Dillmore. Robbie will be back next week with his riddles, puns, and inspiration. I'm sure you all know that Robbie Dillmore also has a show before this show called Christian Car Guy, and I'm blessed to be part of the Christian Car Guy Theater. You know, it's really amazing in terms of being faithful in the little God gives you power over much. In the spring of 2015, Robbie knew I had done voices for Adventures in Odyssey. So we stepped out in faith with just the two of us, created Christian Car Guy Theater in 2015. And we just finished the 44th episode of Christian Car Guy Theater with this most amazingly, wonderfully huge, talented cast of actors. And all of us volunteer, including myself, you know, it's just, I look at it as bouquets of gratitude to the Lord. It's just amazing. You know, when we hear, clear, and obey God and step out in faith, we go into what I call divine freefall. And when we're faithful in the little, it's amazing. God just can work wonders. Step by step, he leads us. I love that old song, Rich Mullins song, you know. We serve a God of impossible possibilities. Ruth Graham said, God will take care of the impossible. It's up to us to do the possible. And the key I'm finding anyway is once you get that clear call from the Lord, and you have to seek it, you have to keep at it through all the ups and downs, but that's once you get that clear call, you go into divine freefall. And that is what I love about Kingdom Pursuits. I get so inspired by people on this show that I've heard who have followed their passion, their call from the Lord, and they don't give up. That's so important. And I have two guests today who will be sharing their Kingdom Pursuits. The first guest is going to be John Priest, and he works with a ministry among many other things, because he and I had a chance to talk here in the studio before we went on, and marvelous things that he is doing. And so he works with a ministry called Wall Builders. And my second guest will be Martin Bennett, who's the author of this marvelous book and future movie called Wounded Tiger. But let me tell you about John Priest, my first guest, who is he's a chaplain himself for the Gideons. But he also works with Wall Builders, and this ministry really inspires me because I have an ancestor who came over on the Mayflower, Stephen Hopkins, and my mother and her sister were both members of the DAR, Daughters of the American Revolution. So I think a little of that's in my blood. So the fact that Wall Builders is a national pro-family organization that presents America's forgotten history and heroes, with an emphasis on our moral, religious, and constitutional heritage, really thrills me. And I know David Barton was the founder of Wall Builders, and I guess his son, Timothy Barton, is now president, taking up the gauntlet. And we have John Priest to tell us more about how this marvelous ministry began and upcoming Wall Builders events, May 27th, 2019, in Lexington, North Carolina. Welcome, John Priest.
Hey, Ann. This is really a privilege to be here. You know, it's truly humbling to hear your kind words, but also to recognize the fact that Jesus came here with a ministry to save the least, the last, and the lost. And he says, all who speak my name, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be saved. We recognize the fact that Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but the world might be saved. And therefore, we look for opportunities just to promote this gospel in any humble and outgoing way that we possibly can.
I know. And just from what you told me before we went on the air, you know, it's just some of the things you've done in the past. It's just amazing how God, like me, I came out of New Age and got saved in New York City in 1974. And you're a New Yorker. We used to do Broadway stuff and all that. And look how God has just taken both of our lives and channeled the gifts he's given each of us, you know, and for his ministry. I bet you're a fun chaplain.
Well, you know, first of all, God will speak to the least, the last, and the lost.
Yes.
And my circumstance, if I can share just a bit of my testimony,
please,
is that New Year's Eve, 1983, I was actually at Mass, and a priest was quoting from Luke, and he was quoting the Lord's Prayer. But what was most revealing that night is I listened, you know, God our Father, holy, forgive trespasses, thy kingdom forever and ever. So we serve an eternal God. He's creator. He's our Father. He's not my Father. He's not your Father. He's available to all of us. And so the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, well, if he's our Father, then you must have something in common with other believers. And I thought, but how do I know that I'm a believer if there's an eternal kingdom? And God said, ask me into your heart and I'll do the rest. So humbly that night, the priest had no idea. He wasn't preaching about this.
Wow.
But the Holy Spirit just opened my heart and said, listen, if you'll have me, I'll have you for the rest of your life. Mm. So from that moment on, it's never been easy, but has been extremely rewarding. And I can tell you that I wouldn't do anything differently than look for every opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
I know. I hear you. And God, doesn't God just open up? We were talking about when we're faithful and little, he opens up the most amazing doors, and then in working all things for good. I remember that old saying, if you're confused, think how the enemy feels, you know?
Amen.
And I mean, it's like, he has plans and he takes us these circuitous routes that drive you nuts sometimes.
Well, amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, one of the things about having the privilege of promoting wall builders, because in all honesty, we are here right now and have invited Tim Barton, the CEO, Chief Executive Officer of Wall Builders, to come and join us for 2 days. Mm. And so I was actually sharing the gospel with our men at Side Seating. I'm a chaplain there and one of the folks that get to share the gospel. And we were talking about our nation is one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all.
Yep.
And I had been reading in Deuteronomy and Exodus and then in Ecclesiastes. And as I'm reading these passages, I began to understand that our nation truly was built by folks that knew their Bible chapter and verse. As a matter of fact,
yeah,
our congressmen used to meet for up to 3 hours before they convened to hammer out the details of the preamble, to go over our Bill of Rights, and to establish and write our Constitution. And so as I got talking about this, Mr. Sides took me aside and said, hey, priest, why don't you take a look at Wall Builders? I said, oh, I'd love to. He said, you know about them? I said, no. But as I got into Wall Builders, I began to understand David Barton and Tim Barton are about one item and one element. Our nation has a strong biblical history behind it, and that's what we are promoting.
Well, I mean, I'm so impressed with this, and I can only imagine that Wall Builders is an organization that in recent years has been seriously attacked and undermined, to say the least, right? I mean, I can't even imagine.
That's how you know you're in ministry.
Yep.
There's your confirmation.
Yeah.
Hello.
yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's getting worse. But didn't the Lord warn us about that?
Well, you know, absolutely, because Jesus Christ himself, you know, in Luke 23 through 39 through 43, he's hanging on the cross.
Yeah.
And he's actually attacked and denied and blasphemed by a man on the cross next to him. And the two men next to him are both criminals. Jesus is found guilty for a crime he didn't commit, but absolutely he meets the needs. In the very last minute, for the last breath for that man, he is saying to him, the man blasphemes Jesus and says, if you really are the Christ, save yourself, come down from this cross. The next man, who absolutely knows that he's guilty, humbles himself and says to Jesus, sir, remember me this day. And Jesus responds, this very day you'll be with me in paradise.
Amen. And we'll come back and hear more about Wall Builders with John Priest. Great name, huh?
Thank you.
takes your passion and uses it to further his kingdom. And we're talking with John Priest, who is a chaplain for Gideon's, but he is also a representative of Wall Builders, which is founded by David Barton, and is now his son, Tim Barton, is the president. But John and I were talking about how God has his ways of humbling us. Boy, is that the truth.
Amen.
Amen, brother. But we were just talking about George Washington, because I have a great quote here, but tell them what you just said.
So Tim Barton accurately describes the passion of George Washington for our Lord and Savior. And George, as a young soldier with the British, are fighting the French and Indian to keep our nation together. Mm-hmm. And Washington is approached 10 times by the chief of the Indian tribe, who is very capable of executing death. When he's accurate, the man is dead. But Washington survives 10 attempts. 10 bullets graze his hat or his coat. 2 of his horses were killed, but never Washington. And finally, the great Indian warrior chief is quoted as saying, "I stopped trying to kill Washington because it was clear that the Great Spirit has protected him."
Praise God. Isn't that amazing? You know, I remember a quote that Washington said to Congress, and that's what we have to say today. In with like this ministry, but Wall Builders ministry, or as you said, Gideon, or I mean, everything, every which way that we can, you know, make Jesus Christ known. Because Washington said to Congress, "Is anybody there? Does anybody care?" And folks, we have got to care in these last days.
Amen.
We are entering a time as never before in this country, and all we can do is fast and pray and turn this country around. And George Washington said, in accord with what was so accurately stated by George Washington, we believe that the propitious, favorable smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation which disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained. And Wall Builders is doing that, and you are doing that, and we are all doing that. If those of us that take the chance, that pray outside clinics, that all this sort of thing, you know.
Amen.
So now tell me about Wall Builders, and tell me about the two events coming up, May 27th.
Well, first of all, so I have two organizations, Side Seating and Faith Church of Midway. And by the way, both have websites, faithchurchofmidway.com and pastorsforbusiness.org. And you can see the events. So May the 26th, we're going to have Mr. Tim Barton, CEO, come and proclaim the biblical history of our U.S. government at our 10:15 a.m. service and our 6 p.m. service. And that's Faith Church of Midway on the corner of Gumtree and Shoaf Roads. That's Northern Davidson County. And by the way, we absolutely uphold God's perfect word at Faith Church. It is holy, it's stayed, it's true, it's infallible. And then secondly, we're going to go a second way with this. It's Side Seating, and we're having a little bit of a festival. So about 7 a.m., we'll be opening the gate, and there will be a variety of Christian vendors, Christian missionaries, Christian business people who are there. We will have a veteran color guard. We're going to have the Heath Brothers, young recording artists out of Thomasville, come and sing the national anthem. And then Mr. Tim Barton is going to tell us again the biblical history of our U.S. government. In fact, I want to quote 2 Chronicles 7.
Yeah.
"If my people, which are called by my name,
humble
themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." And we are so tired of Christians being told where we can't pray, where we can't take Bibles, where we can't express our faith. And the fact of the matter is, our founding fathers gave their very lives.
Yes.
Our congressmen, senators, and those that wrote the Constitution paid for their own travel, transportation, and lodging. As a nation, we absolutely have the opportunity to speak up. This is our way to say, look, come to Faith Church on May 26th at 10:15 and 6 p.m. and hear the gospel. Hear the biblical history of our country. Mm-hmm. Come to Side Seating. Be there after 7 a.m. on the 27th Memorial Day. Listen, you'll have your morning and you'll be so filled and so enhanced by this. And I want to say something else.
Mm-hmm.
In the second grade in 1962, I remember my second grade teacher, Mrs. Richardson, saying to me, "John, we can no longer pray in public school." And I remember in 1973 being a senior at Bishop Ludden High School in Syracuse, New York, that Roe versus Wade was passed.
Mm-hmm.
These are lies from the pit of hell.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, we as Christians today have every opportunity to stand up. But so many of us just don't know our biblical history. Our founding fathers sacrificed and serviced and did it out of the love for the Bible so that we could become and still are one nation under God, liberty with justice for all. So Side Seating and Faith Church are going to step out in faith. We're inviting the public to come to these events, May 26, 10:15, and 6 p.m. at Faith Church in Midway, Gumtree and Shelf Roads in Midway, and then Side Seating, 1010 American Way, Lexington, North Carolina, and at 7 a.m. And please come, bring a lawn chair. We'll have food for sale
and then
vendors.
You'll still have time for picnics after the seven. After they have the morning being inspired.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it. And why don't you give, because nobody's going to have been able to write down all of that.
Sure.
But give a good source from which they the website for wall builders or any other thing that
sure.
you think.
Sure. So Wall Builders Live has their own website at wallbuilders.net.org.com. Pastorsforbusiness.org is available for the information at Side Seating, and faithchurchofmidway.com has the detail information. And we have flyers up in the community, and the flyers are also posted with video on our websites.
So that's Faith Church
of Midway.
Of Midway.
Yes.
Excuse me.
And that's in Midway, North Carolina.
Right. And in fact, Lexington, I always want to go to Kentucky, but it's Lexington, North Carolina.
Yes.
And then wallbuilders.com, is that their...
That's their website, okay.
Yeah, and that'll all be on there too.
Yeah.
But it's so worth, we have to, I agree so much with what you're saying, John, is that we've got to take a stand. We've got to stop being, you know, such pathetic, you know, cowards, basically. And I so admire those that go and pray, you know, in front of these abortion clinics and so on. But take back America. And sadly, the younger people that are being raised in these universities and schools are just, God bless them, they're just ignorant. And I was when I was younger, you know, so.
Well, you know something, and this is probably to close with this event, mm-hmm. but the fact of the matter is that we don't have to be afraid.
Yeah.
And absolutely, America is still built on those that believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. That's our right. Judeo-Christian heritage is still very much alive today, and there are people that believe that. But the fact of the matter is we have to go to the next level and understand what our biblical constitution, 53% of the, 91% of our constitution is based on Bible verses, and 52 out of 53 of the representatives signing the constitution knew Jesus Christ.
Praise God. I mean, we cannot forget that. We have to not be shy about taking back our country for Christ. all we can do is try. I mean, we have to do it. We have to give it our all. We have to, wherever God has placed each of us, is just as you were saying, He has me in a certain place now where I'm a nanny Annie to people that don't know the Lord. So it's like we do what we must, and he places us in the most unusual circumstances to do that. But we got to take a stand. So guys, if you can, wallbuilders.com, go on that site and find out these events coming up and also the church again.
Faithchurchofmidway.com and pastorsforbusiness.org, and wallbuilders.org is also available. And here's the thing, you know, actually it is a joy and a privilege to be called a Christian today. And as long as we know and understand that Jesus suffered, he said, in this world you have tribulation. So what?
Mm-hmm.
It's the gospel.
Yeah.
We have every opportunity. We are commanded, not suggested, not preferred. We are commanded to go and share the gospel. How will people know unless they hear?
Amen.
How will they hear unless we tell?
That's
and
right.
If we want to just soak it in like a sponge, shame on us. We have this opportunity. We're so grateful for the Truth Network and for these organizations stepping up to the plate to let us know as Christians, we have a strong, proud heritage, and we have every opportunity to stand on that faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. I say thank you, John Priest, and be sure to go to these events, May 27th for Wall Builders and so on. And I'm now going to go to my next guest before you leave, John, and thank you so much. You have been so inspiring. We're shaking hands.
What a privilege, man.
It has been a blessing, I can tell you. And I pray God's anointing over these events, and that it'll just, and go out and vote, people. You know, make your each of us, it counts. You know, we each of us count. So
we will have voter registration at side seating there. We'll have a variety of community services so that Christians can know and understand there's something they can do with this knowledge as a result of attending side seating in Faith Church and hearing Wall Builders Live.
Praise God. Thank you, John. Thank you. Appreciate it so much. Amen. And now I would like to introduce my friend Martin Bennett. At least we'll get him on at the beginning of the for the beginning of the next after the next break. Thanks, John. I met Martin through a mutual friend on Facebook in 2011. And when I found out that Martin had been the right-hand man of one of my heroes, Keith Green, in the Last Days ministry, I really wanted to talk to him. And then I was thrilled when I heard he had a screenplay for a Japanese film, because I also had a screenplay for a Japanese-American film, and both of our films were based on Christian true stories. It was such a thrill to talk to a kindred spirit who not only was a strong Christian, but also had a burden for Japan and a passion for his projects. And Martin let me read his screenplay. I was honestly and totally enthralled with this true story. The script was stunning. The subsequent book was just also amazing. And I do not exaggerate. And in fact, before I officially introduce Martin, I'm going to, and I probably won't introduce him until the next segment, but I'm going to read you what well-known author, speaker Ravi Zacharias said about Martin's book. And you'll hear about it on the other side. So stay tuned. You will be so inspired by Martin Bennett's amazing testimony and his wonderful book and movie to be. Stay tuned. God bless you. Where God takes your passion and uses it to further his kingdom. And I was just telling you about Martin Bennett and his marvelous book called Wounded Tiger. And I'm just about to read Ravi Zacharias and what he had to say about Martin's book. And I can tell you just from my own personal experience, it's stunning. I mean, it is such, I'm not just gushing, it's true. It's amazing. But Ravi said Wounded Tiger is an amazing, enthralling story of how the once obscure lives of an Oregon farmhand and a young co-ed intersected with the Japanese pilot who led the attack on Pearl Harbor. With cultural insight and deep pathos, Martin Bennett brings to life this powerful, true chronicle of hatred, surrender, and transformation. Wounded Tiger reveals how ordinary lives lived out faithfully to their calling can impact the destiny of a people and a nation. I wholeheartedly recommend Martin's work and know that you will find it equally compelling. So without further ado, finally, welcome Martin Bennett.
Nice to talk with you again.
I know. And sorry we got kind of off to a rough start in terms of getting you on the phone. It was our bad, but or whatever. But I'm just so glad to be talking to you. And I just want to hear all about all things Wounded Tiger. How did you come across it? Why have you spent so much time on it? Tell us your journey, because as a friend, I have seen you, Martin, plow through the ups and the downs. You know, talk about going through it to get to it, like no one, I honestly have never known.
Well, from an early age, I've always liked true stories. I gravitated to true stories. I read biographies, and it's just the way that the Lord wired me. And as time went on, I came across the story of Mitsuo Fuchida, the guy who led the attack on Pearl Harbor. He was handpicked by Admiral Yamamoto, probably the most famous commander of the Japanese Navy. And I knew a lot of history, knew a lot of World War II stuff, and being a Christian, I heard a lot of tremendous testimonies, but I never heard a single word about this guy. So I came across a used book from a defunct publisher about his life, and I had very low expectations because I figured it's just about bombs, planes, and ships, and then somewhere after the war, he goes to a church, becomes a Christian, and something like that. That's what I was expecting. So as I started going through this book, it was nothing like that whatsoever, and I thought, oh my goodness, this would make an incredible film. It absolutely would be very broadly appealing. It's extremely interesting. I had already spent years researching and writing out another screenplay on the life of a man who was in the transatlantic slave trade, could have died on many occasions, He actually was in chains in Africa among blacks. That is, a white man in chains as a slave in Africa. Could have died. Nobody would have ever heard of him. Ultimately, he wrote the most recorded song in history, of course, which is Amazing Grace, the life of John Newton. So having done research and completed a feature-length screenplay, I knew what I was looking for. So as I was going through this story, I thought, oh, whoa, this would be tremendous. I said, Lord, are you telling me you want to do this as a film? Is that what you're telling me? Mm. And before I could really get the words out of my mouth, Anne, I just felt the Lord say, get it done, Martin, do it. And I thought, oh, man, this is going to be very tough.
Yeah.
So I spent 3 years on research. I read thousands of pages. I went to Japan. I met with some of the world's leading experts. I went to family members. I penned the screenplay, went through several versions, finally got it into the hands of some film people who wanted to option it, and I was really excited. This was only 3 years after I began it, and I thought, oh, great, this is going to be it. Mm. Problem was, as you know, being an actor and a screenwriter as well, if you option your screenplay, they take full creative control and they can do anything they want with it. They can put Bozo the Clown in it.
Yeah.
They can take the word Jesus and turn it into a higher power.
Can I just say this, that when I tried to get a fellow who was at a Christian university to do Heart's Desire, he said, I loved the script. He said, if you could take out the gospel.
Yeah, and that's the problem. So I declined the offer, and the guy was very professional, and he was not pushy. He said, I respect your decision. I understand it, but you're taking the hardest road there is. Mm. So I have an entertainment attorney who's a believer. He's been in Hollywood for 30-plus years, and he said, you've got to put together a development fund in order to make attachments of producer, director, actors, make a budget. And then once that's packaged and you have those attachments, then you can bring it to the bigger investors, et cetera. The problem is it takes money to do that.
Yeah.
So in the meantime that I was looking for potential investors for the film, I decided to take the screenplay and novelize it to book form because I figured, you know, a lot of people would prefer the book. There's things you can do in a book you can't do in a film, things you can do in a film you can't do in a book.
Mm-hmm.
I had not written a book before. I read a lot of material on how to write a book, but I had a natural knack for it.
Yeah.
So I had that book. I couldn't get a publishing deal. I did a Kickstarter thing with it. I then did a second edition. That second edition was released on the 75th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack, and I was interviewed by a Dr. James Dobson on his show, who is a World War II buff. And then the book, you know, went to the top of the charts on Amazon. I subsequently won a Book of the Year award. Has the highest 5-star rating of any novel on Amazon, at least that I can find, and it won number one bestseller status in 4 categories. And without exaggeration, I've had dozens of people and say, this is the most inspiring story I've ever read, or World War II story, and things like that that sound like they're just kind of over the top. But the fact is, I didn't create the story. I'm just telling the story.
Right.
It is an astounding story, and people who are not interested in faith or anything like that whatsoever have still loved the story. The fact was, Fuccino was not looking for God in any way, shape, or form. And so that's kind of the nuts and bolts of how I came across it. But I'm in talks now with 4 potential investors who could come on board. But we really want to get that first round in. I'm looking for $3 million. Once we have that, we'll launch a national book campaign this year in the United States, and then a book campaign in Japan in 2020 with a book translated into Japanese, because the summer of 2020 will be the 75th anniversary of the end of the Pacific War. It's also when the 2020 Summer Olympics will be hosted in Tokyo, Japan.
Wow.
So we'll have the eyes, ears, and attention of the world really focused on Japanese culture and history. It'd be a perfect time to bring this story in. And I've already gotten feedback from people in Japan, both believers and especially non-believers, who have read the book, and they just thought it was fantastic. They loved it, and they said they really cannot wait to see the film.
It is seriously the best. I mean, it is the most magnificent piece. I only first read the screenplay, and before I got into the book, because you hadn't published the book at that point, but I just was so enthralled. And now, what about Japanese nationals? They lost the war. Why would they be interested?
So I've been asked that question a lot of times. So obviously, the Japanese lost the war. They're a shame-based culture, so things that are shameful, they don't even talk about.
Mm.
I met with a couple of people who were practicing their English, and they wanted to, I volunteered, And so I met with these two men. They're in their 30s, businessmen here in the Nashville area, and they wanted to practice their English. Of course, I wanted to ask them questions about Japan.
Right.
So we hung out for about 2 hours. We had a great time together, but one of the questions I asked him, Ann, was, and I've heard this before, but I wanted to confirm from the mouth of somebody who actually grew up in Japan. I said, when you studied World War II in your textbooks, how much material did you read? And this one guy, he kind of smiled, shook his head, he hung his head, and then he looked up at me and he said, 2 pages. 2 pages. So the fact is they don't talk about it, but the story of Wounded Tiger is not a story of shame, it's a story of friendship between Japan and the United States. So this guy, Fuchida, who was highly anti-American, led the attack on Pearl Harbor and killed, you know, thousands of innocent people over the course of his career in the war. Once things started changing, and those other two stories of this guy in Oregon named Jake DeShazer and this young lady named Peggy Covell, these other two plot lines are running parallel with Fuchida, but they have nothing to do with it. And finally, it comes together in a way that is just, you know, if it was fiction, it wouldn't work because the odds would be millions to one that this would happen.
That's what's so amazing.
So for the Japanese people, it's not a condemnation of them. I just tell the story as straightforwardly as possible about the Japanese side and about the American side.
Yeah,
there's good people and bad people on both sides, but the Japanese people, every person I've given the book to has really loved it.
I betcha. We have a station break right now, but your book transcends nationals. You know what I mean? The story transcends nationals. Stay tuned for more from Martin Bennett and Wounded Tiger. Your passion and uses it to further his kingdom. And we're talking with Martin Bennett about his book and marvelous screenplay and book, Wounded Tiger. Before we get out of time here in this last segment, I want to make sure that people can know where they can get your book.
Anyone can get the book at woundedtiger.com. There's sample chapters there, and there's more quotes of people who endorse the story. You can also get it on Amazon. It's available in hardcover and on Kindle.
Yes, and then what is the website?
WoundedTiger.com.
That's pretty easy. And what about the, well, a couple of things. I want to get into how things are in terms of the film. By the way, any of you out there, because you just never know who's going to be listening to this, and I know I sound enthusiastic. I am basically an enthusiastic, optimistic, encouraging type person, but I'll tell you something. This is the most amazing story, and so well done, and so he worked so hard on it. It's just, I know it's all God's timing, his time, his way. But if you know anybody, point them to Wounded Tiger, who might be
able to
help.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring up a subject that wasn't on our list of questions.
And yeah.
Just Christians in film in general.
Yes.
It's kind of sad to me that when people who say they do not believe in God, they trust in themselves, they do films that cost $50 to $100 million. Every week a film like that comes out.
Yeah.
And people who say they believe in the creator of the universe say Christians can only do movies that cost $3 to $5 million. Anything over that just can't be done. I got an email from a guy who was connected to a very wealthy guy, and he just told me flat out, Martin, it's impossible for any Christian to do a large film. It just can't be done. And I thought, why? These are like the 12 spies who were sent to the promised land. And they said, yeah, it's a great land, but there's giants there. The walls are too thick. We'll never get in.
Yep.
And Caleb and Joshua says, you know, don't say that. If God says go, we're going to go and get it done.
Yes.
So people who believe it can't be done, they will not do it. But people who say, no, we actually can do this, they are going to get it done. And, of course, you've interviewed people on this show, but there's many people, both Christians and non-Christians, who said, you know, there's a way to make a bridge across the Bay of San Francisco, and people said it could not be done.
That's right.
But somebody had to envision it and say, no, it can be done. Let's go ahead and do it. So what's been interesting, and again, sadly interesting, is people who are not believers in the film industry who've read Wounded Tiger have told me point blank, Martin, this is a tremendous film that's got to be done, and you're going to get it done, no problem.
We will.
But when I show it to Christians, they start scratching their head and, oh, man, no, this is... this is way, way, way too big. You got to think small. You got to think tiny. You got to think, how can we make a DVD we can sell to Sunday school classes? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is more on the lines of Ben-Hur. Yes. It is a epic film.
It is
broadly appealing. I've had many, many people who hate religion, don't go to church, read the story, and some have told me with tears in their eyes, they were deeply impacted by the story, and they really, really enjoyed it. They want to see it as a film. So, yeah, so the first round is $3 million. I've had three different firms offer to put up money. The last one wanted to put up the full $125 million, but they wanted full creative control, and they want to bring in some very far leftist producers who it would have been a train wreck, and it wasn't a temptation to me. But all that to say is people who understand commercial films say, yeah, this thing is absolutely going to make money.
Yes.
I mean, we look at $400 million to $800 million plus is the range of what we expect the film to gross in the international box office. But I need that first round of $3 million to light the match, to get the kindling going, and then pow, it all will take off.
I know. And honestly, I think God has created you with such determined spirit. I know it's wearying. Believe me, I know that. You know, when you feel you've had a call for so long, but I know God is going to get this movie done, and it will affect so many people. So what's happening in 2020? I know you're close. We won't have very much time, but I just want to get in.
Well, I mentioned earlier in the program that 2020 is the 75th anniversary of the end of the Pacific War.
Right.
We want to get the book out in Japan and Japanese during that summer. It's also the Summer Olympics will be hosted in Japan.
Right.
But this year, I'm focusing on a book campaign to launch the book in the United States for fall of this year to get it big on the charts. When I was speaking with some people who specialize in book distribution in Japan, they said, hey, listen, American books just don't do very well in Japan, but this book has the potential to do really great because it features a very, very famous Japanese national. I said, so what do I need to do to get this book really big in Japan? He said, it's simple. Make it big in America, it'll be big in Japan.
Absolutely.
They like Levi's chocolate, you know, Coca-Cola. I mean, that's how it works.
Yes.
And we love Japanese food, so it will work, but I need to find that person to come on in on the first round.
Yes, and definitely, you know, he may have been dishonored in their eyes in terms of the World War II Mitsuo Fuchida, but his transformation, and that in itself is so stunning. Again, I keep using that word, and I only have about 1 minute left, Martin, but I'll tell you, I know you're going to get this made, and I would ask an appeal to the folks out there. First of all, hang on to your own dream. Keep going if it's a call from the Lord. But
Thanks so much, Ann.
Yeah, please pray for Martin Bennett and his film, Wounded Tiger. And if you know anybody, point them to Martin. Thank you, Martin, so much.
Thanks.
And thank you so much for my two inspiring guests, John Priest and Martin Bennett. You can find out more about Wall Builders at www.wallbuilders.com, and Martin's is www.woundedtiger.com. And if you're interested in my adventures of the Lord, my website is hifromthesky.net. God bless you, and keep on keeping on with your pursuit to give glory to God. God bless each and every one of you out there.
Encouraging prayer. God offers an open invitation for his people to talk with him at any time about anything. On Encouraging Prayer, Dr. James Banks, author of the best-selling Prayers for Prodigals and many other books on prayer, provides weekly biblical insight to help you learn to love to pray. And now, here's James. Oh, we have something so encouraging for you today on Encouraging Prayer. We're going to talk about a tough topic, and that's why I think it may encourage you. And that is, how do you handle unanswered prayers? You know, a lot of us have struggled with that. James, I mean, where do you want to start with that?
Yeah, Robbie, I thought that we would start with something you sometimes hear people say when prayers aren't answered, and that is, God always answers prayer, but sometimes the answer is no. Or wait, it's not always yes.
So, do you agree with that?
Well, you could probably tell by the way I was saying it. Not exactly. In theory, yes, but it's a little bit too neat of a box, and God doesn't fit into our boxes. I mean, for example, why is the answer no? If it's because of sinfulness in my life and I repent, can a no be changed to a yes? I mean, you see that happening in the Bible. Or can a yes look entirely different than we thought it would? You see that too. For example, when Lazarus was sick and the family asked Jesus to come and then he didn't, and then Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, his family's prayers were answered, not just in the way they thought it would be. So that answer wasn't just wait, you know, it was also no, and then it was yes, because God was doing something entirely new. Something entirely creative.
So this is starting to sound more complicated, but what I hear you saying is that God isn't limited to our way of doing things.
That's right. You know, one of the problems with the yes or no or wait explanation for the way God may answer our prayers is that it leaves out a very important thing, and that is relationship. You know, we shouldn't just see prayer as this formulaic yes or no kind of thing. Relationship is huge.
That's really true. I can think about the times I've prayed about something and nothing in the situation changed, but my heart changed because I'm in a relationship with Jesus and he gave me his peace and he helped me to see things in a whole new way. That's one of the most beautiful things about prayer.
I mean, it really is. That whole relational aspect is so vital. I was moved by something I read in 1 Samuel this past week. God had just told Samuel that he was sorry that he had made Saul king. And this is one of those things that just jumped out at me. You know, I mean, that's an interesting phrase in its own right. And you see it in Samuel 15:10. But the next verse, 15:11, says, Samuel was so deeply moved when he heard this that he cried out to the Lord all night.
Wow. I mean, you really see the relationship there. It looks like Samuel was asking God to keep Saul as king, doesn't it?
It really looks that way to me, but of course, nothing changed. I mean, God had rejected Saul, but there's Samuel crying out to God all night long, and what that shows me is that you and I can still go to God when we're heartbroken and the answers don't come the way we want them to, and that shows us that God himself is the best answer to prayer.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to put it. So what you're saying is that our relationship with God or with God really matters more than anything else, right?
Yes, it's a way of keeping things in perspective, especially when other answers don't seem to come. We can run to God and cry out to him as Samuel did. You know, so many of the things that we pray about will one day be in the rearview mirror, so to speak. But God is forever, and our relationship with him through Jesus is the greatest gift of all. We need to keep our hearts and minds there, stayed on that, if you will. And that's not always easy, but that's how we can stay at peace when the world around us seems to be falling apart.
Yeah, I think of Job's words that are quite difficult, but it says, you know, in the Old Testament, though he slay me, yet I will trust him.
Right. And again, there's relationship. But you see right there, that relationship matters more than life itself. I mean, it is life, right?
Oh, absolutely it is. It absolutely is, James. I really appreciate this because I think of so many people who haven't seen their prayers answered in the way they're hoping, and it became a real hardship in their relationship with God. We've all been in that place where we ask why and where. We can't imagine what God is up to or why he's allowed something to occur. And you're not denying any of that. What you're saying is that God is more than the measure of the things that are happening to us, whether they're good or bad.
That's exactly right. And I want to say that carefully and tenderly, especially for the person who is hurting or, you know, who's lost someone close to them. Sometimes there just aren't easy answers. Again, like yes or no or wait. And all we can do is fall at his feet and cry out to him or just, you know, cry with him. I mean, I have to believe that sometimes heaven weeps with us. But the beautiful thing is that he meets us there in that raw and difficult place. You know, the ultimate example of this is Jesus when he cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? What he's actually doing there is quoting a psalm.
Yeah, he's quoting Psalm 22.
Right. And if you read that psalm from beginning to end, you'll see it's absolutely prophetic about Jesus' crucifixion. It describes someone who's thirsty and whose hands and feet are being pierced, someone who's suffering and afflicted. But then it says God listens to him. You know, God hears his cry. And the way it ends takes my breath away. It ends with a statement about generations being told about God and serving him. And then it says, for he has done it.
Wow. I mean, that sounds like it's finished, right? Jesus' last word from the cross.
That's exactly what I think of. So here's the powerful thing. You and I can run to Jesus, no matter what our situation, and know that he gets us. I mean, think of Jesus at Lazarus' tomb. Jesus wept, you know. He understands, even when we ask why, because he's been there. He's been in that place. And if we run to him, he has promised us he will never turn us away. And he is risen, and he is forever. And because he is, he will lift us to him, and nothing will take us out of his hand.
Thank you, James. Let's wrap this one up with a prayer like that. I think, Lord, we are so grateful that you're so much bigger than these situations and things, and that we can climb into your arms through prayer and relationship, and maybe like Samuel, spend all night crying out to you, where the answer really is the relationship with you, Lord. I pray that you would grow that relationship with us to where we could be like Job. And though we feel slayed, we can trust you, knowing that you're doing all things working together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You can hear more from Pastor James by visiting his website, jamesbanks.org, or by visiting Peace Church in Durham, North Carolina. May God bless you and encourage you as you pray.